Amen, amen.
All right, you turn over to Ezra, Ezra chapter 5. We're going to go over a couple scriptures, then I'm going to pass out a sheet so that you can follow along, because I don't want you, there's no way you'll keep up with the different scriptures that we have to go over. So we'll pass that out here in just a few minutes. But Ezra chapter number 5. And so we've been looking here and there concerning the events of the after Judah was taken captive in Babylon, and then Persia, of course, took them over. So this will be after they were restored. And so we're looking at the restoration period. And Ezra is a history book to that. It's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther would be your books that deal with that time frame. And then, of course, the prophets would be Haggai, Zechariah, and then towards the latter end there, Malachi. And so those are kind of the books that are contemporary to this. We're in Ezra chapter number 5. Ezra chapter number 5, just going to read those first two verses. It says, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jehozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. With them were the prophets of God helping them. And so we find in this text, we just see a real quick snippet there, verses 1 and 2, in reference to the fact that chapter 4, they had stopped building. And then for 16 years, they had stopped. They didn't do the work of God. So in a sense, 16 years, what God wanted them to do didn't happen. And they just spent time in their own houses and lives. And because in that context, the government said stop building, and they followed man rather than God. And then what God did was he actually raised up two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. So turn over to Haggai chapter 1. Just want to read a small snippet here of Haggai, gives us the thrust of his message. And then we're going to look at Zechariah, which we have not done yet, chapter 1, and we'll see just a snippet there as well of his message. And it's amazing how God will use prophets. Now, we don't have like the office of prophet today like we did Old Testament office of prophet. Old Testament office of prophet, God actually spoke to them, sometimes in a vision, sometimes audibly, through different things. God would speak to these men, and they would actually then take that message that God told them to go and give to a particular people group or an individual, and that's kind of how that worked. They were actually given, in a sense, new word of God, and they were delivering that word. Today, there is, a gift of prophecy, but all that refers to is that some men and women, for that matter, are called to iterate already revealed truth to respective groups as well. And so what I do when I preach, we would say that's prophesying in preaching, but it's not anything new. It's just iterating the already revealed truth. Amen? And that would be from an office of a pastor, overseer, or an evangelist, or something of that sort. It would be a different office, if you will, but yet we see the motive here, the means of bringing forth the word. Old Testament and even New, when people would be astray, if you will, from what God called them to do, then God would always raise up a prophet, a man of God, to come in and preach truth. And then that truth, when preached, the Holy Spirit would take that truth and he would convict with that truth to get people back on track. Amen. We see that Old Testament, and we also see that New Testament. Amen. And so the two men that God raised up here to get Judah back on track would have been Haggai and Zechariah, as mentioned in Ezra 5. And then we have two of their Haggai, Zechariah, the books there in the prophets. And in Haggai chapter 1, this was the thrust of his message in verse number 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying. So he's saying, God is telling him, the people in general, Judah is saying, it's not time to build right now. It's not time. And then the Lord raised up Haggai, and this is what he said. The Lord said this through Haggai. He said, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? That's a roofed house. That's a house that's enclosed. And this house lie waste, referring to the temple. So God had called them to build the temple. It had been destroyed. They were called to build the foundation, put the walls up, put a roof on the thing, and begin to engage back into temple worship as they had before. And so he says, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses while this house, referring to the temple, lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. A prophet always calls people to reconsider. By the way, the New Testament word for that is the word reprove. If you've been reproved, that means you're called to reprove what you're doing, right? Doesn't look like you're going the right direction. You need to check that back out. You've been reproved. Reprove it, right? And then Zechariah, look over there, chapter 1 and in verse number 1 as well. Now, Haggai was in the sixth month of Darius, second year of Darius, the sixth month. Zechariah is in the eighth month. And so his would just follow Haggai's message, both very contemporary at the same time frame. And he says this in verse number 2. He says, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. Your fathers were, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. So the message of Haggai, get back to the work of the Lord. The message of Zechariah, do it with your whole heart. Get your heart right with God. Don't just re-engage him. Listen, a lot of people think that as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do, then my heart doesn't matter. That's not true. Two things the Bible says of which all the law and prophets hang on is that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And then second is likened to it that we love our neighbor as ourself. And so if we love as we should, that means our heart is right. And oftentimes we think that because I'm doing right, because I'm the one that's serving the Lord, because I'm doing this in life and all that, and others aren't, then I somehow get a pass for having my heart not right and having issue with man and with God. And the reality is that God doesn't need us, amen, to do the work. We are invited to do the work, amen? And it is a privilege to be able to serve God. But we don't gain special favor from God just because we're doing it. No, God calls us to do it with the right spirit and a right heart. And that's why, like here, you might say, well, shouldn't God be happy that they're at least back to the work? He's not. Amen? He wants your heart to be in it. He's not just after the work being done. He wants things done with the right heart. Amen? And so that's what we see here, this twofold message of God. And what I gather from this, and I think that we need to take from this, is the fact that just understanding the tool of preaching that God uses and how powerful that tool is. Amen? It is a very powerful tool. So in reference to what we have here, you know, they were not doing right. They had stopped the work of God. Their hearts were not right in the sight of God. God raises up two prophets with a message. And basically, the whole purpose of the preaching was to get the work going again and get their hearts back in a right order with God once again. Amen? So if I could get someone to help pass these things out, that'd be great. Anybody at all? Thank you. Just one per. Thank you very much. One per person. And all this is just a sheet that has all the scriptures on that we're going to look at if we get there. And it's just in reference to preaching. I think sometimes we don't realize how important preaching is. And by the way, People's attitudes in reference to preaching says a lot about the person. Amen? I watch our church, every person of our church, which includes y'all and those that aren't in here that maybe could be in here right now. And a lot, some young people do their best just to be able to zone out, amen, and play on a phone or get up and leave, not be a part. And I get the fact that some young people have a hard time sitting for any length of time at all. But you need to discipline yourself in reference to being able to sit and engage in reference to preaching. You say, why? Because of how God deems preaching, because of how important God says preaching is, because of how powerful preaching is. Amen. And I guarantee you this, there was somebody, I forget who it was, about 2 or 3 years ago, that when I was preaching, I said, you know, if preaching seems long to you, if you get a pad of paper out and a pencil and you start taking notes and you start really digging into the preaching, and some people like to take notes, some people don't. I'll just give it an idea. You do as the Lord leads. But if you really tune in, no matter who's preaching, you can get something out of it. Because the Word of God, listen, if the Word of God's not being opened during the preaching, that's a problem. Amen. And so the Word of God should be opened and the Scripture is being brought forth. And if you'll tune in, God will speak to you during the preaching. And if you'll do that, you'll be surprised how quick preaching services go if you'll just tune in. Amen? It changes everything when you're interested in the course material. And so God speaks to us through preaching. And he does some powerful things through preaching. It's very powerful. Look there at your sheet. Basically, Ezra gives us tremendous insight into what godly preaching is. We see him call out the fact that these two men of God were raised up to get them building again. And then, of course, with Haggai and Zechariah, it shows how important it is. And can I say this in reference to America? The only hope that our country has is through preaching. Amen? Amen. Preaching's it. And right now, a lot of people don't like they don't like the directness of preaching. And I get it that preaching is direct and it's kind of in your face, you know what I mean? And I get that. But this is what God ordained in reference to delivering a message. And so we want to be careful. We don't want to say, you know, use words that God would want us to use. We don't want to be mean. We don't want to be nasty. We want to preach with the heart of love, speaking the truth in love. But preaching is heralding. That's what the whole thought there is. It's correct. It's heralding the Word of God. That's what preaching is. It's taking a truth, getting a message from God, and getting that out unto the people. Amen? And it is powerful. It's ordained by God. Look at the passage there in Romans chapter number 16. It says in verse number 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment and the everlasting God, of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." But it's this power of gospel preaching, the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. This is the power to establish you. Establish you means it establishes you. It fixes you to a point. People that refuse preaching, they never become established. They never become anchored. Amen. There is something about preaching that it does something to us. God works on our hearts in preaching in ways that he does not work on in our devotion time and through other means. There is something about preaching that God uses in such a way that it will establish you. It will establish you in the truth. Amen. And it's very important. Look over that, or you can just look at your sheet there, 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Right? So people that are not God's people, that are not really interested in things of God, they think that what we do in reference to preaching is foolishness, right? But look what it says next. It says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Is that amazing? It is the power of God. There is something about preaching. I love to be under good, hard preaching. Amen. I just thoroughly enjoy it. And it's just something about it. And I believe it's God ordained. I didn't start out this way. Amen. I didn't come into this thing loving to be yelled at. Amen. Or at least the gospel being shouted out. But there's something about a man of God getting up with the word of God and just preaching the truth. It just does something to my heart. Amen. It encourages me. It helps me. It is, as this passage says, the power of God. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. If you were to get a think tank together and say, what is the best way to be able to communicate God's truth? I guarantee you, man would not say, I got an idea. Let's just preach it. No, we would more tend to, you know what, let's be softer in our message and let's, you know, and all that. And even some of that worldview class, now that you kind of pick that up from there. And I get it. Individually, absolutely. There's a lot to be said for building relationships with people. And you know, and listen, we don't want to always be in a preaching format when we're communicating with people. I mean, if you're a husband and you're always in a preaching format to your wife, that probably might not always work. Amen. And quite honestly, you know, Dana being married to a preacher who's preached all the time, at times she probably feels like she's saying, would you stop preaching to me? I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe, just because maybe that's there. But at the same time, preaching is powerful, but we're not always in that format. There's other methods, there's other means, other ways that we approach people, and we need to utilize those tools. Not, though, to the exclusion of preaching. There is something about this type of format. Bible says it's the power of God. The world doesn't get it. They don't understand it. But God is showing a contrast between the wisdom of the wise and bringing the understanding of the prudent to naught. It says in verse number 20 there, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, it says, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, that is not saying that preaching is foolish. It's just saying that many view it as foolish, and it pleases God to continue to use preaching, even in 2023. It says, for the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And by the way, preaching is one of those things that not just anybody can get up and preach. There is something spiritual about it that you really do need to yield to God and really forget who you are, lay yourself down there. And those that try to preach like in a, as like, oh, I'm good at it or whatever, in pride, it just doesn't work. It falls flat. There's no power of God there. But if a man will just yield himself to God and realize he's nothing, God will use you in the preaching ministry in a powerful way, not because of you in the sense of you doing it, but through you, God can speak through men, through preaching in a powerful, powerful way. That 1 Corinthians 15 there, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. So we see the need there to keep in memory the preaching, standing upon the preaching, and grasping what is preached. You know, in reference to preaching services, and that's amazing how God will move in people's hearts and lives through preaching in ways that we don't even see that oftentimes individually. There is something about preaching. We can't leave off on preaching. It truly is the power of God. And if we get people to the preaching services, you might be thinking, man, if my friend or whatever comes to preaching service, man, they're going to think we're whacked out. You might be really surprised just getting people, even like to the tent meetings, because that's just straight gospel preaching. You get people there, and it's amazing what God will do through that preaching. Amen? And so let us use that as a tool in this day that we live in, not recoil from it, not try to change something that God has put in place, but use what God has put in place. And you find someone that's really upset and doesn't want to hear preaching, I'll show you someone that has a heart issue towards God. Amen? And so it's just really the way it is. And the time frames that you've not been real close to God, you've really not wanted to sit under gospel preaching. Right? And so there's something about it. It's a good thing. 2 Corinthians 4 there, it says in verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So we're not preaching ourselves. We are preaching Christ crucified. Amen. Preaching is the means, as we see in this text, that God has ordained to give light unto the Gentiles by the knowledge of God. Amen. Light comes through preaching. We cannot leave off preaching. It is a tool that God has ordained, yea, even in this day that we live. Look at that passage of Galatians 3. It says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." It says here that God preached the gospel unto Abraham. That's pretty interesting. Amen. He declared these truths to Abraham, and Abraham did not understand it. He tried to figure it out, but that's what preaching is. Preaching is an interesting thing. You know, when you're one-on-one with somebody, you're kind of discerning where people are. That's that one-on-one, come, let us reason together, as Paul talks about and all that. But a preaching format is different because you can't just do one-on-one in preaching. You're putting a message out, and you're relying upon the Holy Spirit of God to take and to bring that message to the person. And that's why I think it's just a powerful thing and something that we can't take credit for what takes place through preaching, because the people are all at different places. God knows those places. He administers it. He works through it. It's not a work of man. It is truly a work of God. And God brings light to people that are willing to endure preaching. Amen. Look at that passage there in 1 Peter. 1 Peter. It says in verse number 1, we're going to read this and then jump down toward the bottom there in 2 Timothy 4. But 1 Peter 1 says in verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corrupt seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So again, we see this word being preached concerning salvation, concerning the corruptible being made incorruptible by the preaching of the word of God, by our hearts being challenged, by the love of God being brought forth in our hearts. If you look at verse number 22 there, where it says that we are purifying our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Remember, it's the Spirit that takes the word of God and delivers it to us. And when we, through the preaching, agree with God and the Spirit and allow the Spirit to administer to us, we find ourselves being purified to obey the truth that's being preached unto us ultimately so that then as we receive that, we are more moved to love one another. So there is a bringing together of people through the gospel message as it's preached through preaching itself. So look down at 2 Timothy there, chapter 4 now, verse number 16, the bottom of your page, I believe. Yeah, it might even be going to the next. But it says this in 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So Paul's saying, man, not everybody was excited about my preaching. He says, not even those that were with me, they didn't even stand with me in it. I mean, they kind of walked away from me based on what I was preaching. Amen. But he says, that's okay because the Lord stood with me. Amen. And then from that, we know that that people ultimately then did respond. And it's just amazing. And then the mouth of the lion, this would be, I believe, a reference here to Ephesus. And so we know that Paul would have faced the lions potentially, maybe in Ephesus, maybe in Rome, right? Under Nero. And I believe, because he delivered him out of the mouth of the lion there as well, I believe that Paul, I don't think the lions wanted to eat him, amen? Pretty interesting. And so God shut the mouths of the lions. Why? Because Paul was a preacher. Can you imagine Paul being... I don't know if you've ever, we watched a documentary this last year on that Colosseum and the History Channel in reference to what that was like. And they actually noted on the History Channel that a lot of the Christians that were brought into the Colosseum for the lions to be released, a lot of times the lions would just lay down. Not every time. And ultimately some, you know, were devoured, but it was interesting. And what that did was that enabled the Christians to do what? Preach in the Colosseum. Isn't that crazy? So here's a situation where it seems to be, this is horrible, but it was God working out an audience that the man of God could preach to, that audience, these were people of nobility. These were all kinds of walks of life there in the Colosseum. They had different areas, like the people that were wealthy had different areas, the people that were not as wealthy, the Caesars, not they wanted all people there because they wanted people to be afraid of who the emperor was, right? It was a control mechanism. But imagine how God would take that to give preachers an audience. Amen? How powerful that is. And you know, if you will allow God to use you to proclaim truth, you know, God will give you an audience too. Amen? And that audience that you're preaching to, the Spirit takes those words and does some powerful things through preaching. Amen? Look back up now at Romans 10. Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a blessing. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so the Bible says that it's important that preaching takes place because that at times is the only way anybody will have opportunity to hear. We know, of course, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so through preaching, as people will listen, God grants faith to those that will listen to the preaching. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed in faith in them that heard it. And so when we're under gospel preaching, Bible oftentimes will say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so when you're under gospel preaching, know that it is a God-ordained thing, and God will disseminate his power through that, will give you light through that, will give you understanding through that, will at times reprove you through the preaching. He will correct you through the preaching, but it's always profitable. And so we want to have ears to hear. No matter who the one preaching is, know that God can use it to be a help to each of us in our lives. And so this whole thing is very interesting, Hebrews chapter 4, because in what it's basically saying here is this. It says, in order for the word of God to profit you, you must have faith to receive it. But in order to get faith to receive it, we have to be willing to listen. And if we will listen, God will grant us faith. And if God will grant us faith, then the message becomes profitable. Because a lot of people that are under preaching will walk away from it and say, yeah, I didn't get anything from that. I didn't get anything from that. The reason is because you didn't have ears to hear. You really weren't really open to God using that message to speak to your heart. But if you'll be willing to listen, then God will give you faith. And with that faith, he will enable you to understand and receive the message tailored specifically to your life. It's amazing how many different times I'll be standing in the back, whatever, someone will say, man, that was amazing. I'll be like, what'd you get from the message? Well, I got this. And I'm thinking, I don't even really remember preaching on that. But God uses different portions of scripture to speak to our hearts in a way that maybe even the preacher didn't even direct our attention to, you see. Because it's a powerful thing that God uses, the preaching ministry. Titus 1 verse 3 says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Manifest means to make known. God makes known his word to us through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God, our Savior. Look at 2 Timothy there, chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now this will be Paul's direction to Timothy. He said this, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Sometimes it's easy to preach. Sometimes it's hard to preach. Sometimes you get into preaching in arrangement, engagement, and there's liberty, amazing liberty just to preach. Like there is no hindrance. Man, other times you get up and it's like, man, I feel no liberty. It's hard right now. I feel like I'm just, it's like brass, amen. Like the word's not going anywhere. And Paul said, don't worry about that. He said, you just preach the word, amen. Preach it in season when it's easy, out of season when it's hard, amen. And then in this same text, he goes on to say, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Reprove. You preach the words of reproof. You preach those that challenge people to go back and reexamine their belief system. Rebuke. At times, people need to be called to account because they're not doing right by God's word. And then exhort. Build up. Lift people up with the word of God. Encourage people. Edify people. Exhort them with all long-suffering and doctrine. Meaning, this isn't a short-term arrangement. It's a long-term arrangement. We're in it for the long haul, and we suffer long with people. And, of course, doctrine. Always preach doctrine. Preach the truths of Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 3. For the time will come when they, the audience, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What that refers to is that they just find someone to deliver messages and go through the motions, and they say the things that people just want to hear. You know, they're not looking to be reproved or rebuked or challenged or exhorted. They just want to hear nice, fluffy little messages that really don't convict. And he says the time's going to come where people won't endure this. But he says, you just keep it up anyway. It says in verse number 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Just fake stories, if you will, just fables. He says, says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. What afflictions? Afflictions that come to the preacher, amen. Afflictions that come by just being a preacher of the truth. afflictions because you're at times, your motive's going to be challenged. At times, people are going to twist your words and call you this and gossip and slander about you and everything else. And spread. Don't worry about that. Endure affliction. You do right. Make sure you're right. If there was a wrong, you make that wrong right. But endure those afflictions. Why? It's worth it. People need to hear preaching. The world needs to hear gospel preaching. And how shall they hear that preaching if we're not, as a church, sending out, or if people aren't willing to do the preaching themselves? It says, do the work of an evangelist. What's an evangelist? One that heralds the gospel. Just getting the gospel message out. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That's what I find interesting about the word of God is all the times the word mystery is used. Do you realize that you and I do not really know what it takes to live the life that God's called us to live? It's a mystery. Amen? Well, how do we come to know what it takes? Through the word of God, studying to show ourselves approved, subjecting ourselves and submitting ourselves to preaching. Amen. That's how. Amen. I know in reference to my life, how did God change my focus and direction from a life of aviation to a life of pastoring and preaching? It was through preaching. God used preaching to work on my heart and direct my heart. By the way, that's why the devil fights so hard to keep people from being under preaching. Right? Because it's powerful. It's a powerful tool that God has given to us to bring light to people, to help direct people's lives, for the Holy Spirit to take and use in lives. Amen? So it's powerful. And so in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. It kind of gives a little synopsis of his life. And that's what we do as well. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Paul said this, the church there at Colossae, he says, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is manifest to the saints. Well, how's it manifest to the saints? To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. That's what we're preaching. We're preaching the words of Christ. We're preaching these things that God would have us to make known. The already iterated word of God we hold. When we preach, God makes known things through preaching. And it says this, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. God has ordained this type of an arrangement till he come to disseminate his word, but then also to manifest his word, make known his word, even the mysteries of God in this format. And again, I will just say, it's not always brought out just because the preacher brings out an interesting thing. Just the format of preaching, the Holy Spirit can be used to bring things out to you as you engage, as faith is given. God can speak to your heart through preaching, even though the preacher may not have called your attention to something. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and in verse number 15. He says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. And this kind of shows us what I was just saying. Sometimes we get so focused on the preacher that we lose sight of the fact that God can use even preaching that maybe isn't perfect. Amen? He says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Because we can get upset by we see a preacher who's maybe preaching with the wrong spirit. Or preaching maybe even something that is not right. And we shouldn't desire to do that at all. All I'm saying is even those things it says, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. So there were those that were actually kind of mocking Paul
and preaching. And then it says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, will rejoice. I praise the Lord for all preaching. I do not condone all methods and modes of preaching if they are unbiblical, but I still praise God that Christ's name is being brought forth out there, no matter who it is bringing it forth. Whether sincerely or not sincerely, I praise the Lord that Christ is being preached. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. So we want to preach to those that are close to God, want to know the truth of God's word, and we preach the truth to those that are far off, those that are not right. I think oftentimes that's really more of a street preaching type ministry. Those that are far off, even in a congregation like this, you could have those that in heart really aren't tied in. But what about those that don't even come to church? Well, they need preaching too. Amen? And so we see that. It's not just for the saints. The preaching is for all. God wants his word to be preached. God uses preaching, amen, in reference to all. Look at Ecclesiastes. This is an interesting passage because in chapter 12 be the last book of the book of Ecclesiastes. So Solomon here is kind of wrapping up some things. He's come to some conclusions, and he says this in verse number 8. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Have you ever felt that way? What's the use, right? And I'll be honest, I feel that way. I feel like sometimes, you know, you preach, you keep going through, you know, the routine. Are we ever getting anywhere? Are we accomplishing anything, right? And yes, but sometimes we just kind of get a little discouraged about things. Not that's right. Discouragement's a sin. You need to get those things right. But Solomon's just saying here, man, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, just everything just seems empty, right? And so look what he says here in verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So even though at times you may think, man, nobody is listening. Parents, you may think that about your kids, right? They ain't getting it. And I feel like it's getting worse sometimes, amen? It could be in a church scenario. It could be in a Sunday school class scenario. It could be on the street. It could be anywhere. This is the passage to say, if you're wise, if you're a wise preacher, even though it seems like it's all vain, just keep it up. Stay faithful. Keep preaching. And so it says here in verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and we should. And that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. So he's not going outside the truth. That's a challenge. Sometimes people get to thinking, well, people aren't interested in just having, you know, there was this thing for a long time in the ecumenical movement that doctrine divides, right? And so they thought, well, if doctrine divides, which by the way is the whole word of God, then I need to preach some things that would be more acceptable, right? No. Solomon's here saying, no, we stick with the truth, right? It may not always seem like it's being received, but that is what God has ordained, and that's what we stick with. And so notice here what it says about the truth. The words of the wise are as goads. Now, a goad is something that you kind of poke with, amen? And truly, that describes gospel preaching, right? Man, I go there and I feel like I get kicked in the shin. I go there and I feel like I just got poked in the forehead. I go there and I feel bad when I leave sometimes, and I don't like that. Well, the Bible talks about how the words of truth are like that. They're like goads. They provoke us, amen? And that's what it's meant to do, is kind of to rattle us a little bit. And that's what it's supposed to do. We're supposed to provoke unto love and good works. We do that through gospel preaching. And so it says, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of the assembly. So through the preaching, we get provoked and then we nail some things down, right? We find those spots where we get, and it becomes spots that that actually really become a foundational thing in our lives, that we're able to be fastened to a good foundation. And it goes on to say, it says, and nails fastened by the masters of the assembly, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so if this is the whole duty of man, then we see how important preaching is. Because preaching keeps these things in front of us. Preaching keeps the commands of God and the words of God constantly being flowed before us so that we don't let them slip, amen? Because this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment. So if you're doing wrong, the question is, would you rather just keep doing wrong and not be told, and then at the end have to give an account for that? Or would you rather put yourself in a place and in a position so that when you're doing wrong, you get poked about it? Amen? A lot of people say, I don't want to hear it. And what they're saying is, I'm okay doing wrong, and I'll deal with it later when I stand before God. Can I say that is the wrong approach? Because God has given us an opportunity like this so that we can be better prepared for that day of when we do stand before God. And that is what Solomon is saying. He says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, this is interesting because I think this really does allude to the reality that through gospel preaching, through the preaching of God's word, it does reveal secret things to us. Amen? When we personally study the word of God and all that, we more focus on the things that have already been revealed. But in preaching, oftentimes that is the place, that is the time that God will reveal something to you that you haven't even been considering. And God will show you, hey, this is an issue and you need to deal with it. And so it brings things out that otherwise would have been kept secret. Lastly, let's look here at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. It says, this is prophetic in reference to the ministry of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And we need to preach the good news. Amen. This is the gospel. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint all them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, if you look at that text, there's a wide range of topics, and that's the gospel, God's word preaching ministry. We preach all over the map, and God takes those and delivers it to the people as they need it. In the same meeting, someone that's mourning can be helped, and someone that's sinning can be rebuked through the preaching. God does all of that seemingly at the same time through the same message. Verse number 4, this is really culminates everything. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. What does preaching do? It builds. It builds the saints. Amen. What does it do? It raises up things that had been otherwise made desolate. And what does it do? It repairs the wasted things, the waste cities. It's through the preaching that things are built, that things are raised up, and that things are repaired. Amen. That'd be a good message, a good outline for a message. Amen. Verse number 5, and the stranger shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dresser. And again, that preaching ministry will enable us to stand and then be called to preach ourselves and to have oversight over a flock ourselves. And then it talks about how that through this ministry as well, we'll be called to be plowmen, plowing up that ground, as well as vine dressers, caring for the vine so it brings forth fruit. Where true preaching is, there is building. Where true preaching is, there is the raising up of desolations. There is repairing, amen. There is feeding that takes place. There is plowing that takes place. There is pruning that takes place through the vine dresser, taking care of the vines. It all happens through preaching. And if preaching is ever laid off, then we lose these things that are meant to take place through preaching. Amen. Let us appreciate preaching. Back in our text with Ezra, the work of God had stopped. The heart of the people had grown cold towards God and towards man. And God raised up two preachers to come in and preach. Consider your ways. Consider your ways of what you've done. And then not only that, he sent Zechariah in to deal with the heart issue. They got back to doing what they needed to do, but their heart wasn't right. So that's what God did. They needed help, and God sent them preachers. Can I say the same is done today? As we need help, God will send us a preacher to preach truth. And peradventure, God will even raise many of us up to be that preacher. Amen. Let us just spend tonight, really, the whole point was just calling us to appreciate what God does through preaching. Amen. The world hates it. You might have to fend off and deal with people that say, I don't like that. They just yell. They just shout about preaching. I don't even know what it's saying. And you can encourage them and say, you know what? God has ordained that. And if you'll just tune in and pay attention, God will speak to you through it. And God will help you through it. Amen. We can't leave off preaching. God's ordained it to go forth. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this day. And help us, Lord, to just appreciate maybe a little more, God, all the passages, all the different things. We just scratched the surface of, God, how you've ordained preaching to reach people, people that are lost, people that are saved. You've ordained preaching in a group format like this to be a help in ways that we can't even understand. But God, it's of you. To the world, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it truly is the power of God. And God, based on our attitude towards preaching, it does tell a lot about us. God, speak to our hearts now from this message. Help us with it, and we'll thank you, dear God, for what you do. Thank you for ordaining preaching and calling us unto it and doing a work through it, even in this day that we live. Help us, Lord, never to move away from the preaching, as your word indicates. Never move away from true gospel and just the preaching of the word of God. Help us to appreciate it and love it as you would desire us to. I pray in Jesus' name.